Supply chain disruption. You ever heard of it?
Oh, yeah.
It's everywhere, right? And it's impacting many aspects of our lives and most of our economy. In fact, 94% of Fortune 1000 companies are experiencing supply chain disruptions from COVID-19. 94%. That'd be 940 out of the 1,000, right? From toilet paper shortages at the onset of the pandemic, we all remember those days, to limited rental car availability, 6 to 9 month delivery delays on common appliances, and now even shortages on Christmas trees. You heard it right. The Grinch is trying to steal Christmas again. The supply chain disruption is creating a scarcity mentality that is driving prices up as consumer demand continues to surge. Even Chick-fil-A isn't immune. You guys see in the summer that they actually had a sauce shortage? I don't know about you, but my family was stockpiling some sauces. In a culture where the same-day delivery or curbside pickup have influenced our consumer behaviors, the continuous disruption to the global supply chain is impacting how businesses approach their respective markets. But what is a supply chain? We hear it, but do we really know what it is? The supply chain follows a good or product from inception to final delivery, and typically has multiple touch points from beginning to end. In a typical supply chain, there are three primary points that shape the product creation and its delivery to the marketplace. There's an input, there's an output, and there's the distribution. For the second half of this year, we've been studying 1 Timothy, Paul's letter to his friend and student. But what does supply chain disruption have to do with Paul's letter to Timothy? The overall theme of the letter is Paul's encouragement to Timothy of how to live a Christ-centered life and common pitfalls to avoid that could take him away from this purpose. As we're about to see, the inputs that we allow into our lives determine the outputs we produce, which shapes our personal distribution channels and patterns. In other words, what we choose to consume or make our top priorities shape our minds and bodies, which directly impacts our rhythms of life. Open with me your scriptures to 1 Timothy, verses 13 and 14. This is Paul speaking to Timothy, writing to Timothy. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that Paul says, I charge you to keep the command. This isn't merely a suggestion, but an order, a mandate to keep this command. But what command is Paul referring to? Let's look at 1 Timothy 6:11, just a couple of verses before. Timothy, don't let this happen to you. Run away from these things. You are a man of God. Your quest is for justice, godliness, faithfulness, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Paul is encouraging his protege to seek justice, to seek godliness, to be faithful, be full of love, perseverance, all while maintaining a gentle spirit. Men, that charge is no easy task. Justice, godliness, faithfulness, love, perseverance, and gentleness, these qualities and characteristics make up the supply chain of a man of God. Remember what we said about the supply chain. The input directly forms the output. And we only need to look at Jesus' own words to understand the most important input to a man of God's supply chain. And that's love. In Matthew 22, we see the Pharisees once again are trying to entrap Jesus with a trick question by asking him, what's the most important commandment? Let's look at Jesus' answer. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus is telling us that the Father's holiness is rooted and love. He wants us to know that the fullness of God's goodness. The Father seeks a loving connectivity with us that is rooted in love and trust. We are made in the image of God. We are designed to have relationship with Him. When we love God with our whole hearts, with all our soul, and with our complete minds, we are placing God first in our lives. When we place Him first, we are starting from a place of dependence. When we start from a place of dependence, we are admitting we are not in control. A mindset and a heart position that realizes it's not in control can now approach God in a posture of trust. When we trust God, we have faith that He will deliver. When we believe God is faithful, we have hope for the future. In Paul's letter to the people of Rome, we see this hope points directly back to the Father. It is a circle of life. Romans 5:5. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us His Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. There's truth and encouragement in those words. But in today's culture, many of our personal supply chains are broken. Can anybody agree with that? Our connectedness to God has been seemingly cut off. But that's not by God's doing. It's self-inflicted disruptions to our own distribution channels. In supply chain terms, some of these disruptions include a raw material shortage. We're not going to the power source first or even on a regular basis. Labor shortage. We have a consumer-only attitude and not a servant-leader mentality. Inventory buildup. Bitterness is blocking some of us from receiving the Father's love. We're harboring hurts, disappointments from the past that we are unwilling to release. Or some of us are so focused on revenue growth that it is diminishing our bottom line margin. More work, less return, typically equals a tank that is running low. And that's not good for business either. Over the second half of this year, I have fallen into this category. I'm overcommitted. And to be honest, most days recently, I feel like Gumby. Being stretched and having little margin isn't good for business and certainly not good for our souls or our distribution patterns. So how do we fix a broken supply chain? We audit our habits. The psalmist tells us we become what we worship. We are a reflection of what we make a priority. What we give our attention to is who we become. And it determines if we have a reactive life or an active life. Unlike the global supply chain, which clearly we can't control, we can maintain and ensure our supply chain to God is healthy and constant. As my table leader and good friend Chris White likes to remind us, we cannot control how our day ends, but we can control how our day starts. So win the morning. Our input is the Word of God. It is perfect. It is timeless. It is without blemish. It is a reflection of its author, a good, good Father. One thing we can count on is God's delivery for our needs is always on time. Scripture tells us that God is never early. He's never late, but always on time. God's perfect timing does two things. It grows our faith as we are forced to wait and trust in God, and it makes certain that He, and He alone, gets the glory and the praise for pulling us through. By waking up each morning and making God your priority, His Holy Spirit will deposit nuggets of wisdom, encouragement, and truth that can shape our outlook from looking down to what entangles us to looking up to the sovereign King of the universe and opening our hands to Him in a posture of dependence. In the global economy, the marketplace determines the value of goods and products. But in God's economy, it's different. The cross determines our value. Our Abba Father loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to take your place and to take my place so we can have, may have eternal life with him. He loves you and he loves me this much. 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about love. Sure, you've heard it at weddings, but let's really allow these words to just soak in of what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Does that description sound familiar? It sounds a lot like 1 Timothy 6:11 and the charge that Paul gave and what a supply chain of a man of God has. And that's why the supply chain starts with love. And to know Jesus is to know love. But to trust Jesus only for our eternal salvation is missing out, really, on life's most precious gift, a daily relationship with your Savior, a living relationship that is centered on love. There are men that trust God for their final delivery, but not on the on-time delivery of their daily needs. Or as my table mate John Chapman likes to remind us, we trust God with our eternity, but we don't trust him with our bank accounts. Remember, we are made in the image of God. He made us as relational beings. In Genesis, before Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge, God loved to walk with them in the garden. It was relational. During Jesus' ministry on earth, he often went alone to a quiet place to spend time with the Father. But culture and the enemy will tell you that you don't have time for that. That it's a one-sided relationship. And that is a lie that we all too easily accept. By opening your scriptures each morning, God will reveal himself to you. Remember, God is always on time, and his living word is his delivery mechanism. So if we start to open up our packages from God on a daily basis, if you commit to win the morning, I can promise you it's going to transform your life and your mentality and your feeling and your relationship with God. And if we do it every day and we make that commitment, he is going to start to shape how you think. Day one, John 15, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear great fruit. Jesus will give us life more abundantly. Day two, Lamentations 3:22-23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Men, God wants to give you and me new mercies every day. Day three, Psalm 23. We all know it. This is one of my favorite verses in it. You care for all my needs, anointing my head with soothing, fragrant oil, filling my cup again and again with your grace. God wants to replenish us. He doesn't want us running on empty with no margin. Day four, Isaiah 4:40-31. But those who hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. God renews and God restores. So what's on my card for tomorrow, day five? I don't know. But my Father does, and I can rest in that. Because his delivery is always on time. And exactly what I need for that day. What powerful truths that we have at our fingertips if we only choose to make them a priority. As we close this morning, Let's look back to how Paul kicked off his letter to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Our teaching about this journey is intended to bring us to a single destination, a place where self-giving love reigns from a pure heart, a clean conscience, and a genuine faith. Paul is telling his friend, in order to give love away to others, you must fill your heart and your mind with God's truth and His love first. Our challenge is to be men that win the morning and receive the living inputs that God has authored for each of us. By going to His Word every morning, it starts to produce a soul source supply chain that is fed by love from the Father. And He is a good, good Father. When we do this, we become men who seek justice, who seek godliness, who yearn to be faithful, are full of love, embody perseverance, all while maintaining a gentle spirit. We are men who reflect a godly supply chain. We are men that win for eternity. Let us have prayer. Abba, Father, You are so good to us, and yet so often we just feel You're so far away. We have voices that just yell in our ear that tell us we're not worthy, we're not good, but those are lies. And the reason those voices yell into our ears is because they're far away and it's the enemy. He is not near to us. He is far away trying to misdirect us. But You want to whisper into our ears. You want to speak to us. You want to spend time with us in relationship. You created us in Your image, but You've given us free will so that it is a true loving relationship, one that is not forced, but one that is just grows together. And the reason that Your voice is soft is because You are so near to us. If only we'll stop looking at what entangles us and start looking up to You, to our throne, lifting our eyes above, focusing on You, You will begin to open up new pathways. You will renew us, and You will make us whole again. And You have given us Your Son, who without spot or blemish went to the cross to take our place so we may have eternal life to You. I pray that each of these men, that this message just really pricks our hearts, that we want to be men that just honor You, that seek You daily, and that we look to have all of our inputs come from You and not of this world. God, we love You, we honor You, and we lift Your name on high. And we just praise You in Your Son's most powerful name. Amen. Men, enjoy your time at your tables.